Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is undeterred in his saving work for you by the world's unbelief and hostility. Now, our gospel lesson consists of a number of warnings against hardness of heart and unbelief. But you must remember that it is Jesus who continues to act and to work and to speak on behalf of sinners in his words, even when he is warning people against unbelief and a hard heart. In the chapter preceding our text, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath day who had a withered hand. In a synagogue, he healed him. And then, after he had a run-in with the Pharisees and the scribes, he went off and went on a healing mission and healed many people of whatever disease they had. And finally, he came to a man who was possessed by a demon, and this demon had rendered him dumb and blind. Jesus cast out the devil, and the dumb man was able to speak, and he was able to see. Now, the appropriate response to Jesus' work comes from the mouth of the people. The people, all the people, were amazed and said, "Is not this the Son of David?" In other words, isn't this the Christ, the Messiah, whom we have been waiting for? Who else could it be? This has to be the Messiah, right? And that's the appropriate response to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to confess faith in him, and by faith to receive his grace, forgiveness, and eternal life. But notice how the Pharisees respond to the people's faith. They say, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." So what they say, he's not the Messiah. He's in league with the devil. And the devil has given him the power to cast out demons in order to deceive gullible slobs like you. Right? That's what the Pharisees say when the people say, "He has to be the Christ. He has to be our Messiah." This is why Jesus warns in our gospel text of the danger, the peril of committing the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. See, the Pharisees here, they saw the miracles of Jesus, and the Holy Ghost had convicted them and convinced them that, in the words of Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, "No one can do these works that you do unless God is with him." So these Pharisees are convicted in their souls that what the people are saying must be true, but they will not have it. And so they blaspheme the work of the Holy Ghost. and they say that what the work of the Holy Ghost really is the work of the devil. And so they commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and they are justly condemned as having committed the unpardonable sin. Now, this was not every single Pharisee and every single scribe. These were certain persons among the Pharisees and the scribes. And so Jesus is not simply condemning those who have committed the deed, but he is warning everyone else who hears him not to make the same perilous mistake that these people did. And he warns of the unforgivable nature of the sin against the Holy Ghost. Right? But Jesus is the one. Now here's what you have to grasp. Right? The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is kind of the apex of unbelief, hardness of heart, and wickedness. That's the apex of it. But there are all kinds of lesser forms of hardness of heart. As a matter of fact, the default condition of all people by birth is that we are spiritually dead in sin, and our hearts are by default hostile to God and hard against the Word of God. Therefore, we should never be surprised at the world's hardness of heart and wickedness. What should surprise us and delight us is when people are converted and come to true and saving faith. Because that, my friends, is a spiritual miracle that Jesus does by means of his word and sacraments. It's not a surprise that the world blasphemes and hardens itself. The surprise is how many people are brought to saving faith and are numbered with the saints in glory everlasting. That is a delight and a surprise to us. Jesus goes on here and he says, either a tree is good and its fruit is good, or a tree is bad and its fruit is rotten. Right? He's talking not about trees, he's talking about people's hearts. And he says, a tree is known by its fruit. If you see an apple tree full of rotten apples, you know that there's something wrong with that apple tree. All right? Because a good tree bears good fruit. All right? So, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. In other words, he's saying a good man brings forth good fruit. He's really talking about himself here. Jesus is the one who fits the bill here perfectly. Jesus is the good man who out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And the result of this is the salvation of sinners. And when Jesus brings us to saving faith by means of the gospel, the good treasure of his heart, when he brings us to faith, our sins are washed away and we are accounted righteous, good, and holy in the eyes of God for Christ's sake. His goodness and his righteousness are reckoned unto us or credited unto us, and we, by his grace, become good people who, out of the good treasure of our hearts, the gospel that dwells within us, we bring forth good things. That is, we share God's word with other people. And so here, Jesus warns. On the one hand, he encourages the penitent, and he says, don't give up hope because of your sins and your weaknesses and your fallibilities. Don't give up hope, because I have come to bring forth out of the good treasure of my heart that which will comfort you with the forgiveness of sins and establish you as God's holy children for my sake. And so Jesus is saying to the penitent, do not despair. God's grace is present and active in me. But then to the wicked and the hard-hearted, he says, now take this warning. Every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give an account of on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So Jesus here is warning that if we end up standing before God on judgment day, having died in our sins, judgment day will not be in the least bit comforting to us. It will be woe and it will be terror on the day of judgment. But when we die in the grace of God with the forgiveness of our sins, we face judgment day as the great day of our homecoming and victory. So, Jesus goes on in his discussions with these hard-hearted people. Some other Pharisees chime in and they say, all right, they say, we'll consider believing in you if you do for us some special sign. If you impress us with some spectacular sign that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, then we'll consider believing in you. Now notice that this is not in any way the beginnings of faith. This is hardness of heart. People who will not come to faith unless God treats them as some kind of VIP status, who deserve some kind of special consideration, these people will never come to faith so long as they continue in their hardness of heart. So they say, all right, Jesus, you're an impressive guy. We'll consider believing in you if you do what we want you to do. That's not faith. That's unbelief. So Jesus responds and he says this. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. You guys are seeking a sign because you are evil and because you are adulterous. That's what Jesus said. By adulterous, he means unfaithful to God. All right? An evil and adulterous generation. These are the most religious people in the nation. And Jesus says they are adulterous. They are unfaithful to God. And so he says, and there shall no sign be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now the Pharisees are standing there going, huh? It makes no sense to them at all. Jesus just said something to them that they can't even begin to understand. But those who have faith in him, those who are sorry for their sins and trust in him as the Christ, the Son of God, to those people, this is a very encouraging sign, because it says that though the Messiah will die and be buried, his death and burial will last only for 3 days and three nights. And just as Jonah, when he was in the fish's belly, praised God for the deliverance of God. You know, it boggles our minds when we read the book of Jonah that he could consider himself in the whale's belly as having been delivered. But he was. And after 3 days, the whale vomited him out upon the land, and Jonas was alive and well. And off to Nineveh he went, and he preached, and God forgave the people who repented. And so it is here that by giving the sign of the prophet Jonas, Jesus is sharing the means by which our eternal redemption is secure. Jesus will be crucified, dead, and buried, and he will be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. But then on the third day, he will rise again from the dead, having secured the forgiveness of sins and everlasting salvation for everyone by his suffering, his death, and his resurrection from the dead. The Pharisees and the scribes, they listen to Jesus, they hear him say, but it means nothing to them. But to those whose hearts have been humbled, to those who have been brought to faith by Jesus through his holy word, these words are wonderful words of life, because they assure us that our salvation is as sure as the death and resurrection of Jesus. Because he lives, we shall live also. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.